Going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, so if you got your Bibles, jam on over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to take verses 17 through 32 this morning. And let me open up in prayer before we get into the Word. So, Father, we love you, and we come into your presence today. And we're lifting up Kathy. We're praying for her body for healing, Lord. We're praying over Rebecca and her family, for her father, for her mother. God, for the children that are left behind, we're praying that you give them wisdom and strength to get through this, Lord. We're surrounding them right now in prayer, and we're lifting them up to you, God, to give them the strength that they need to get through this horrible loss. Comfort her, God. Give them peace, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're lifting up the National Day of Prayer. Lord, when your people come together and they call out on your name, Lord, and we humble ourselves, Father, you want to heal our land. You want to restore things the way that you want them to be. And so we've got to come together and unite in prayer and bring our cares and concerns to you, Father. We know that you listen to us. And Lord, we're praying over, my daughter and this baby, God, that this baby's strong and healthy and let this pregnancy go well, Lord. And we're just asking that you bless this time in the message. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Open up our blind eyes, God. Remove stuff that would be getting in the way of this. Lord, we need you today. We got to hear a word from you today. We've got some stuff going on in our life that we just cannot deal with. So, Father, we're praying that as we get into your word and we dialogue with you, Lord, and we listen to you, that there's change in our life. And the church said, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're going through the books of the Bible. We teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And so we're in Ephesians, and last time we were here, Paul was talking about God gifting us, not restricting us. Yeah, that's right. You got some gifts. You got some gifts that God has given you, and they're good gifts. I took Samantha to Walmart the other night, and I didn't go in because I was in my pajamas. Which is weird, right? Because everybody goes, if you go to Walmart, you just go in your pajamas. You don't get dressed up to go into Walmart. But I was like sitting out in the car. I didn't want to go in. And she had come out with this bag. And she was all excited. She goes, Dad, I'm so excited to give you this amazing gift. You're going to love this. And I'm like getting, okay, well, you know, it's Walmart. I don't know how good it's going to be. But I'm down with it. So what do you got? And she pulls out this box. And I kid you not, it's a box of Nair eyebrow wax hair remover. God's honest truth, I'm not playing. And I love her. And so I looked at her, I had to be honest with her. I said, I'm going to tell you something. This is something that I am just not going to use. Like, I'm never going to use this. Nobody in their right mind is going to put this on their eyebrows and, like, rip stuff off and think, like, this is good. This is what I need to do on a Friday night. But then Jerry came over to the house. And Jerry came over, and Samantha can talk this boy into anything. And so I'm sitting at the desk preparing the message, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm watching her put these wax strips on his eye. And she goes, wham, and rips that off, and he's like, ooh! He's like, and it was so funny because he was running around the front yard holding his eye, and he's like, am I bleeding? Am I bleeding? Am I bleeding? And then he jams in the house like, Jason, am I okay? Am I bleeding? I'm like, no, you're fine, man. You look ridiculous, but you're fine. And I started thinking about just crazy gifts that we give people. You know, we don't ever use them, and they're weird. But God has gifted us for one specific purpose, to grow us. You're gifted. You're blessed. And it's to grow into the maturity and the fullness and the stature of Christ, who is the head of the church. And so when Paul's in this section, he's saying, listen, it's not cool to always stay a baby. It's good to be a Christian and you're trying to figure things out and you're trying to plug into the Lord and you're coming to church and you're hearing the word and things like that. But the idea of it is we are gifted to grow. And you don't always want to be in this infancy stage of your Christianity where you're always doing the same things you always done, hanging out with the same people you done always hung out with, doing the same things, talking the same way, feeling the same way. All of this stuff, there has to come a point in our life where we say, I'm going to put those things away and I'm going to grow up. It's like when my grandbabies come over to the house, they like to go into the kitchen because that's where they know grandpa's going to feed them. And it's cookies, peanut butter, whatever I can find for these kids. They're crazy. I'm just glad they're small because if they could take me down and beat me up for dessert, I guarantee you they would do it. And so we go into the kitchen, all three of us, and I'm like, man, I don't know what to get these kids. And so I turn my back and I'm getting cereal loaded up in bowls. And I turn around, I look at Esther, she's 2 years old. And she's sitting butt naked on the floor, bare butt to kitchen floor. And she's like ready for cereal. And I looked at that kid and I said, okay, I caught her dad. I said, Randall, like, is this normal? Does she bare butt to floor eating cereal in the kitchen? He's like, you know what, just let her do whatever she wants to do. Just let her do whatever she wants. And that's cute at two, right? But if you're doing that stuff at 40, you're going to need some counseling. And don't come to me because I can't handle that type of stuff. All right? It's cute when you're two, but when you're 40, you want to be growing up to where you're not sitting on that kitchen floor bare butt naked eating cereal in the kitchen, right? It's the same thing with our Christianity. God wants us to grow up in maturity and get over some things. And this is how Paul's going to tell us to do that. If you got your Bibles, I hope you're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. If you're there, say, I'm there. That should be everybody because we got it up there. But you want to start bringing your Bibles. You want to start marking up your Bibles. Sometimes people are like, man, I don't want to write my Bible. I don't want to mark it up. Listen, there's an old saying that says, a Bible that's fallen apart is an indication of a life that is not. Bring that word of God. Hold on to this thing. Make it everything. Get into it. You need your own copy of the word. But we're going to get into it today. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 on growing up. He starts with the way that we think. And he says, this I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, when Paul's talking about Gentiles, he's not talking about a race of people. He's talking about unbelievers in the world and how they think and how they process information and how they do stuff. You got people that you know in your life and they just do not think right. Like, they just don't think at all. I mean, some of us are raising kids like this. And Paul's like, listen, I need you to come out and away from those people. You need to make a break from the crowd and the way that the crowd is thinking, and you got to think differently. And this is so important. Here's why. Because when it comes to our thinking, it has so much to do with the way we live. The way you think determines the way that you act. Listen, this is important. But here's the problem with the way that we act, and let me know if this is you. There's things in your life that you just cannot change no matter how hard you've tried, no matter how hard you fought, no matter how much you thought you were going to do more, it's still there. That should be everybody raising their hand in here today. Now, here's the good news about that. We may not be able to change our heart, but you know what you can do is change your mind. And if you change your mind, guess what God's going to do? That's right. He's going to change your heart, and there's going to be some new things. That's why David said, oh God, create in me a clean heart. See, David had changed his mind on how he was living and dealing with things, but he knew he couldn't change his heart, so he surrendered his mind over to God, and God changed his heart. And later on, you know what it said about David? That this was a man after my own. Yeah. Hey, you want to change your life? Change your mind. Get out of that stinking thinking. The futility of their mind. Instead of justifying things that we do, sin in our life, guess what? We need to own up to it, confess it, repent of it. And when that happens, God's going to do something really cool in our lives. And I grew up justifying all kinds of stuff that I did because that's what I saw. My mom, she had a shirt and it says, I don't have a drinking problem. I drink, get drunk, and I fall down. No problem. And that was like her motto. That's how she lived. No kind of take on responsibility. And consequently, guess what? Nothing changed. She killed herself on my birthday. And it's such a waste. For one simple reason, not willing to change the way that you think. And it all starts there. That's why Paul's starting there. And he's like, this is why you got to break away from them. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Man, Paul goes savage right there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He goes nuts. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, I don't want to say this because I'm going to offend you. Paul's like, forget that. I'm going to tell you straight up. And I don't care how you feel about it. You're ignorant and you're blind. And there's darkness there. And the reason why is because, check out Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I don't know if we got it up there, but he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Just becoming straight up stupid. And we've got a generation like that today where we're professing that all we've got all this knowledge and we're so smart. We've got to be the most ignorant people in this, in the since the generations of the world. This has got to be the stupidest one. You think I'm playing? Go to any university, Yale, USC, UCLA, Harvard. Go to a philosophy class, go to a psychology class, and ask them, what is the definition of human? What is gender? When is life life? Stupid questions that you're not going to get an answer from. And you know why? You know where this all started? In the tree, in the garden with the tree of knowledge. What did God tell them? You can have anything you want, except do not partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what they did? They're like, hey, you know what? That's great advice, but forget that. I'm going to do this on my own, and I'm going to glorify myself, and I want to know. I want to have knowledge. And God looked at them and said, you think you can handle knowledge? You want my type of understanding and think you're going to be okay? You're going to be so messed up, you're not going to know up from down. You're not even going to be able to define what a human being is. You think you want knowledge? Man, God's for real, isn't he? Don't eat of it. And so there was a they were trying to glorify themselves, and when they tried to glorify themselves, that's when we get into all this futile thinking and this messed up mindset that we got. Listen, when you seek to glorify yourself, that's when things are going to get dark. That's when things are going to get messed up. And Paul's saying, you guys got to separate, make a break from these people. They got their understanding darkened, and they're ignorant, and they're blind. So he's like, come out of these people. Man, anytime we want to glorify ourselves over glorifying God, it's going to end in foolishness and darkness. In verse 19, he says it just gets worse. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Man, so Paul's not only does he say the crowd and the world is unsaved and they're losing touch with God, but they're losing touch with reality. He said they're giving over, like over themselves to this stuff. They're not even fighting it anymore, man. They're like not even fighting. You know how sometimes you struggle with sin? Like, forget that. I'm just going to give over to it. I'm just going to submit to it. I'm going to surrender to it. And they give themselves over to it. And they're like, man, I'm fine. No conviction. They're past feeling. Some people end up in relationships like this where they're just like, I'm done. I don't care one way or another. Whatever you want to do, you go and do. But I could care less one bit. You go, you stay, you do what you want. I'm done. I'm past feeling anything about this. And people get like that with sin. There's no godly conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore. And they party and they live and they're just like, man, I'm living and I don't feel no regret. I don't feel no shame. I don't feel no remorse. I'm good. It's like this pastor, he was preaching and he was talking about sin and condemnation and feeling conviction and like getting right with God. And this young guy comes up to him and he says, you know what, I heard your message, but I don't feel shame. I don't feel convicted. I'm living it, man, and I'm good. I'm sleeping who I want to sleep with. I'm doing what I want to do. And the pastor asked this boy, he said, listen, if I took you upstairs and we dropped an 800-pound weight on a dead man's head, do you think he's going to feel that? And the kid's like, no, because he's dead. And the pastor looked at him, he said, that's what I'm talking about with you. See, you think you're living, but you're dead. You're past feeling. You're not getting it. Nothing matters to you anymore. And you're in that dark hole. And Paul's saying the reason why that happens is because we're totally dead spiritually. Any convicting work of the Spirit, they no longer sense it. And that happens to us as Christians too, doesn't it? How though? Because the more that we sin, check it out, the easier that it gets, doesn't it? The more that we sin, the easier it gets to do it. Do you guys remember the first time you said the F word? Oh, I know now you said the F word. Maybe that's too hardcore. But let's just say you said something else. Maybe you were in third grade, and you're like, man, you got all your buddies around, and you're like, I don't know if I should say this. And you're like, bleep! And all the kids are like, man, I can't, like, are you going to jail? Did your mom hear that? Like, no? Okay, and now you just elevated in popularity, right? And the F word was nuts. That was like next level. That was bigger than gosh darn. And you took it there. And then after that, it was like, hey, that wasn't nothing. I didn't go to jail. And then it's like, bleep, 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 bleep. It almost sounds like, you know, that thing when you're on life support and it just flatlines, beep. You end up becoming bilingual in like some other language. Man, church, I tell you what, and I hope this is hard for you to believe when you see me now, but I had the worst mouth out of any of you, guaranteed. In fact, my mouth was so messed up that my truck had broke down on the highway, and I left a note, don't tow my truck, I'll be right back, I gotta go get some parts. Guess what they did? They towed my truck. So I had to walk all the way back home, and I called a taxi company. There was only one company because the town was so small. And I called that taxi driver, and I said, they took my bleep, 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 bleep truck. Breath of big fresh air. Bleep, 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 bleep. And you know what happened? That taxi driver said, sir, I'm not going to come and pick you up. That's the God's honest truth. You know how messed up your mouth is when you can't get a taxi driver to come and get you? And if you're a taxi driver, my bad. But they're like, I'm not going to come and get you. And it got to where it was like nothing. You could just say it and there was no conviction. Because the more that we sin, the easier that it gets. The first time some of us got high. Man, the first time some of us got high, that was nuts, right? Crazy. And then the next time we got high, it wasn't so crazy. And the next time we got high, it was like, man, I got to get higher. And what happens is, and you know this, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And the more that our conscience gets seared to that sensing of God's Holy Spirit inside of us is saying, listen, I love you. I want you out of this. I've died for this. Listen, and so they were beyond, past feeling. They didn't feel nothing anymore. They didn't care about nothing anymore, Paul says. Their conscience is totally seared. In verse 20, he says, but check this out, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I like that. He says, you have not learned Christ. Now make a note of this. It does not say you did not learn about Christ. Do you see the difference? And that's huge because you can learn about somebody and still never know them. Here's the interesting thing about it. Jesus has been gone, resurrected. He hasn't been around. By the way, Jesus is not here. Did you know that? If you go to Starbucks and someone tells you they're Jesus, guess what? That's not Jesus. He's not here. He's out of this place. But what the church in Ephesus knew, they knew Jesus. It's not that they knew about him, they knew him. He says, you have not so learned Christ. It says, if you've been taught by him and you heard him. How? Where is he? Would you step up? And so what it is, like Tammy, she just went, some of you guys know Tammy, she just went down to Universal Studios. She's going to be seeing like Back to the Future, best movie in the 80s, amen. And she's going to be learning all about Michael J. Fox. But let's just say she got on that ride, and the first time she's on that ride, she's like, whoa, check out the car. Check out where Michael J. Fox was on the skateboard. Look at this, look at that. And let's just say that ride got broke down, and she had to go that same trip 15 times before she got off. How do you think she's going to feel about Michael J. Fox and Back to the Future after that? Oh, I already saw that. Oh, I know about that. And what happens if you don't know, if you learn about Jesus and don't know Jesus, this is how you're going to come to the Word. Oh, I already saw that. The virgin birth, that's kind of cool, a little weird, but cool. Oh, the healing of the blind, that's all right too. Feeding of the 5,000, that was a neat story. The resurrection, cool. But you know what? You get and you're just like, yeah, I've already heard all this stuff before. And you're not connecting with God. And so what God wants to do is he wants to connect with us, not academically, but relationally. And I'm going to tell you guys how to do that. By going and listening to his word when he speaks. Well, how does he speak? Where's his word, right? Right here. Oh, I just wish God would speak to me. Oh, I just wish God would give me an answer. Oh, I'm so confused. He never's talking to me. Really? He wrote a book on it. Check it out. This is his word to you. So when you open up, you're not just reading about cool places about then and there, but here and now. This is going to change your life. When you open up the word of God and you say, God, let's connect. Oh, God, thank you for showing me that thing in my life that I had done forgot about. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an answer that I've been waiting for. Oh, God, and we see it. God just doesn't tell you. The reason why he wrote this is to show you. And when we connect with God like that, it changes everything like that. Boom! Because we're in his word. His word is alive and active. And if you're just coming to learn about Jesus, I'm sorry, you're not gonna know Jesus. And he says, you guys haven't learned Jesus like this. Man, knowing him changes everything for us. What are you here for today? Man, you need change, and he's the one to bring it. And so Paul's like, you guys have been hurt. You've heard him. You've been learned by him. He's taught you guys. And now, in verse 22, he's going to tell them what God wants for them in their life. And this is where we're going to be kind of closing out on today. This is how we take those gifts, and we grow into maturity, and things start changing in our mindset and all of that. Paul says in verse 23, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul's telling them to put off the old stuff and start putting on some new things. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, again, talking about the mind, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Man, that's good. And so Paul's like, listen, you guys lust. Did you see when he said deceitful lust? I like that he used the word deceitful, because there's nothing more deceitful than lust is deceitful. Can I get an amen? I mean, just from somebody, have you been fooled? Like once. Like, see, we're all about the bad boy and the bad girl, right? If you're single, man, you guys, you know, it's the bad girl because she's fun. You don't want the girl who's all about Bible study. Come on, don't act like you know what I'm not talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you girls ain't no better neither. I got to have the bad boy. And here's the thing, it's deceitful, and here's why. Because all you want to do is pray with them. Huh. I got to get this girl into knowing Jesus. This boy needs some church. I just want to hang out with them and like fellowship and stuff. Man, there ain't nothing more deceitful than lust is deceitful. And let me tell you guys one thing. It doesn't work out, and you guys know it. Affairs never work out. People get hurt. kids get hurt, spouses get hurt, trust is gone. Pornography is not going to help your sex life. It's going to jack it up. Listen, if people who got affairs were the happiest people in the world, then everybody who had an affair would be just like crazy stoked, happy all the time. If people who were addicted to pornography were the happiest people in the world, you'd have people going around and addicts would be the happiest people in the world. If dope made you happy, then your dope would have made you the happiest person in the world, but it's messed you up, and you guys know that. Doesn't work. Just doesn't work. But see, what we do is it's deceitful. It's deceitful. And there's a game that gets played. And Paul's saying, hey, listen, lust is not delightful, it's deceitful, and you need to be putting some old stuff off and putting the new on. Man, for some of us, we think, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go hang out at my friend's house that I haven't seen in a while, and you know darn well there's dope there. Free dope, too, by the way. Hey, and I'm going to tell you all something. If you're trying to get off of dope, guess what you can expect? People are going to be passing it out to you for free this time. Yeah, it's not going to be, you know, before you had to pay for it and look around. No, not now. Nope. Just count on it, okay? It's going to be free this time. But we're like, hey, I'm just going to go to my friend's house and hang out. You know there's dope there. Or watching something on TV late at night. Man, there ain't nothing on tonight. And there's no, I'm going to watch this. There's no sex, but there's some skin. Ah, check that out. That's okay, right? I mean, I can do that. It's deceiving. It's so deceiving. And so Paul's like, man, let's put that stuff away. It's like a fire. The more you fuel that thing, the hotter it's going to what? You better believe it, and someone's going to get burnt. And so Paul, check this out. He gives us a progression in verse 24, and that this is how we grow. This is how we're going to change. This is where we're going to end off. He says in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. Oh, Paul's cool. So he gives us an outline right there about how we grow, how we mature, and how things are going to be different. When we walk out of here today, it's going to be different than we walked in here. And here's how. He says, put off the old man, meaning get rid of that trash. Get rid of some of them old people that you used to hang out with because you can't hang out with everybody. It's not like that anymore. Get rid of the old man. And then he says, when you get rid of the old man, then you can start renewing your mind and thinking straight and having clarity about the stuff that's going on in your life. So he says, get rid of that old junk. Get your head straight. Get your head straight. And then after that, you start putting on the new man. But I'm going to tell you something about this that Paul's telling us. You have to choose to do it. This is a choice God will not make for you. This is a choice that you're going to have to make for yourself. It's like anything in life. Oh, I'm just waiting for that managerial position. Did you put in an application? No. But I'm waiting on the Lord for it. No one's going to hire you. Oh, God, I'm just waiting on some patience, right? I'm waiting for you to make me patient. Well, guess what? Start being patient. Lord, I'm trying to trust the person I'm with, but, you know, it's been a hard couple years, and there's a lot of broken trust, and I'm just waiting on you to, you know, put trust back into me. Check this out. Start trusting again. Start trusting them again. Start giving them a second shot like God gave you a second shot. And if you start being patient, you start trusting in God. He's going to change things as we submit to Him. It's like we step out and He starts doing stuff. People are depressed. I'm so depressed. God, just take me out of this depression. Get out and go do something. Get out of the house, turn that TV off, and go serve. Get busy, get connected, get into fellowship, get around some young women like you that want to connect with you and can be an encouragement to you. Get around some other fellows who are giving their life to the Lord, because not everybody's acting stupid out there. There's people out there who love Jesus, and we're sitting at home and you just sit in bed and you watch TV and the door stays shut and everything's messed up and I'm so depressed, God, just take it from me. And he's like, I told you, get out. Man, don't you guys see it? We got to get out and step out. And it's when that happens and we step out in faith, God starts coming in. And so Paul's like, listen, put it off, renew your mind, and put it on. And he closes out with some things that this is going to hit everybody. Verse 25, he says, put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're all members of one another. Has anybody lied in here before? Let me see. Raise your hand if you lied before. Okay, so look at everybody right now who doesn't have their hand up. Go ahead, let's make it weird. You're lying right now. Yeah, now it's like, hey, get your hand up. Man, hey, if our politicians would just once, and for the love of God, tell the truth, our whole country would fall apart. You know that? They don't even admit to it anymore. You know what happens when they lie? They say, oh, I misspoke. No, you didn't. You know what you were talking about when you were talking about it? You done straight up lied. That means your political party too. Yes, they are liars. And so Paul's like, put away lying, speaking truth with one another. You know, as Christians, what happens is we don't lie anymore, right? You get creative. Yeah, you do. Christians get creative. Like your wife, you know, she asks you, hey, these pants make me look big. Hey, you're a Christian. You know, you get creative. So what you do is you don't answer the question, you give a question. I don't know, do you think they make you look big, right? Hey, and by the way, that's a little tip for you fellas. You better answer a question with a question if it gets weird, okay? And if she's wise to it, God help you. I just don't know what to do about that. But verse 26, check it out. He's saying, hey, listen, tell the truth and be angry. Verse 26, be angry. And you're like, now that's a command I can, right there, I can do that one, that's easy. Be angry and do not sin and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, because if you let the sun go down on your anger, it's going to be rising up on your bitterness. You think you're going to go sleep it off? No. No. No, you're going to wake up nasty and bitter. And he says, don't let the sun go down. Be angry. There's a place for righteous anger, isn't there? You see someone getting hurt, you see a woman getting degraded, you see a child getting hurt, boom, there's some anger there. Jesus did it. Jesus got riled up, didn't he? When he went into the temple, he started flipping tables and beating people and stuff. And that always cracks me up, because people go, oh, Jesus didn't actually beat people. Really? You better go back and read it. I mean, he got nuts, whipping everybody out of there. And there was a guy who had a messed up, he was deformed, and Jesus healed him on a church day. And then the religious leaders were like, oh, you don't do that on a church day. He's like, I'm not listening to you guys. He heals this guy, and it says he looked around at them with anger. Or when the disciples were, when kids were coming up to Jesus, and the disciples were like rebuking them, like, hey, get out of here, you little punk. And they're kicking them away and stuff. And Jesus is like, well, wait a second. Hey, you better let these kids come to me. There's a place for righteous anger. Now, the difference is this is the difference. When you get upset that something has happened to somebody else instead of it happening to you, that's righteous anger. You know, you getting mad because somebody unfriended you on Facebook or they didn't share your post. If you love Satan or the devil or Jesus, if you love Jesus, then forward this. If you don't, then you love Satan. If that's you, stop it. Hey, nobody, everybody loves Jesus, and they're still not going to forward that. Okay? It doesn't mean that I love the devil. But we get so upset about the stupidest things. People cut us off. People lie to us. Talk junk behind your back. And we get mad and we freak out. Could you imagine God doing that? Like, oh, they lied about me, and he just kicks Saturn to the moon. Boof! Like, the whole universe goes nuts. No, it was about when something happened to somebody else. It was like, man, that's when God stood up and he did something about it. Anger's good if it's other-centered and not us-centered. Let's close out with this, verse 28. He says, and let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. By the way, work is good. Hello? Getting a job is not going to kill you. It's true. And what might happen is you make money and like things change in your life. I don't know. Maybe you get a house. Maybe you can like go out to eat or something. Yeah. It's nuts. It works that way. You go to work and like they pay you and then things change. Labor is good. Did you know work is a blessing? There's people in the hospital right now and you're here and they can't get out of a hospital bed. And you're like, oh God, I got to go to work tomorrow. And they're like, oh God, I wish I could go. Man, it's a blessing, right? So he says, let him who still steal no longer, but let her work with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who needs. Paul's just like, man, stop ripping people off. Now, right there in his church 2,000 years ago, and right here today, there's people that are like, oh, Jason, you lost me right there. I never stole nothing a day in my life. Well, you just got done admitting you're a liar. Like, whoa, how long ago was that? 5 minutes ago? Oh, I don't steal nothing, really? Man, there's people, do you know this? They go to work, and they're paid to work, and they're watching Netflix. They're watching, they're on Facebook. They're watching ESPN. Man, milk and welfare because they don't want to work, and they're lazy. Don't even get me started on taxes. Oh, God, you know this ain't fair. This dollar amount over here, You know I didn't make that. So we're going to fix it over here, and we're going to pray about it. Man, he's saying, hey, instead of taking from people, let's give to people, and let's be generous, and let's be honest. So, verse 29, we're going to close out right here, 32. Guy, come on up. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Paul just reminding us, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, he's got to be the Lord of your lips. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth confesses. And so whenever you're around somebody and they just start going nuts, bleep, 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 bleep. And then 5 minutes, they're just like, man, I don't even know where that came from. You're like, yes, I know where that came from. That came straight up from what was inside of you already before that came out of you. And so now he says, listen, let's get away with that speaking. We want to think before we speak, right? Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's so good. Hey, will you guys stand with me? Let's shake it off. Let's stretch it out. You guys are like 25 years old, all crying that your body hurts. This is what I want you guys to remember. Every time somebody comes to this church and leaves, I want them to remember. Because sometimes there's a lot of stuff that we just covered. This is what we're going to do. We're going to put it off the old, and we're going to put on the new. We're going to put it off, and we're going to put it on. Say it with me. Put it off, put it on. That's what's going to happen today. We're going to put on the new man. And there might be somebody in here today, and you're just in that season where you're like, man, I am past feeling. I'm doing what I want, but it's not given. I don't have no happiness. I feel empty inside. Nothing matters. Listen, God wants you to surrender to him today. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're feeling dead today, I've got some good news for you. I got some real good news for you. God wants to come into your life and change it. And for the others, maybe you're here and you've given your life to the Lord and you've backslidden and you've kind of been going back into some bad thinking lately. this is your wake-up call to take every thought captive and make it submit to God, and to have a renewing of your mind, to have that mindset like Christ. And so in doing these things, we're putting them off and we're putting it on the new. God's going to have a change in your life. Things are going to be different. You don't have to walk out of here like you walked in. Put it off and put it on. Let's pray. Father, we just come into your presence today and we thank you for your word, Lord. And I want to pray over those. Maybe there is somebody here today, God, who needs to surrender their life to you. They've heard about you. They've learned about you, but they just don't know you. Oh, but don't you want to know them, Lord? You laid your life down for them. You sacrificed all for them. And Lord, I just pray that right now, that for whoever hasn't made that decision, God, that even now you're convicting their heart, that you're leading them to a relationship with you, not an academic one, but a real relationship, Lord, with you. And if that's you right now, just I want you to say it with me. Father, I pray for forgiveness. I'm asking that you change my life as I change my mind. I accept the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I accept the Lord as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.